God bless you, sir. Thank you. Hello. Welcome. God bless. Thank you so much. Oh, boy. You know, in our fellowships here, over the last number of weeks, we didn't do that, especially this morning, but over the last number of weeks and in our weekly fellowships, we've been doing a lot of praying. Actually, we did a season of prayer, I guess we would call it, at our local fellowship on Wednesday, and it went on and on and on and on and on, and I think it lasted maybe 40 to 45 minutes, which was a great indicator to me that there are a lot of things that people want to pray about. And that wasn't the only time that we've ever done that. But the really cool thing is that we've heard many stories about how God has answered those prayers of people who never even heard of San Diego Biblical Studies, never heard of Shelley Stork or Alex or Trisha Fonda or anybody. And yeah, here we are. We've been praying for these people, and really miraculous things have occurred. And many of you are aware of the type of things that I'm talking about. And so I thought it'd be really appropriate this morning to teach a little bit more about intercessory prayer and what a great joy and privilege that is to be able to do that, and really what that provides to us as a body of believers, and the kind of power that that really gives us and enables us to really reach out and to help people, and many times people we don't even know. So I want to look briefly in the next few moments at this subject of intercessory prayer. And we'll start in Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. This is talking about Jesus Christ saying, "But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." This is one of the great purposes. This is one of the great benefits. This is one of the great aspects of the ministry of Jesus Christ, not only during his earthly ministry, but now He makes intercession on our behalf. So I think it would be of interest to you, and possibly, you know, it has been of interest to me to know exactly what intercession means and how this whole thing unfolds and what's in it. I mean, everybody really, ultimately, it gets down to people want to know what's in it for them. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, because somebody could just sit there and they're kind of like, yeah, Barney, you know, but what's in it for me? I mean, you know. What's this all about? Yeah, nice talking, you're reading the Bible, blah, 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 but how does that relate to my life? Believe me, this relates to your life. And hopefully by the end of this sharing, you will be able to put into application something that's going to be of a benefit to you. But you're the one who will decide whether to do that or not, huh? Wanted to share something from a wonderful seminar that a man that we know, Ken Petty, did a great seminar on prayer called The Pleasure of Prayer. And he wrote something in here in his syllabus saying, "Salvation is a wholeness which begins with spiritual wholeness at the new birth, extends throughout this life in renewed mind wholeness in our walk today, and culminates with the complete wholeness we will have with the return of Christ." How about that for a nice little statement? Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. He is ever living to make intercession for us. Kenneth Weiss translates this verse 25, which we just read, "Wherefore seeing he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Kenneth Weiss translates this version, "For which reason also he is able to be saving completely and forever those who come to God through him, being always alive for the purpose of continually making intercession for them." It didn't just end with the death and the burial and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, what's he doing up there? Is he on vacation? I mean, he did his due, and now he's done. He entered into retirement. I don't think so. God had to have a fuller purpose, something more for Jesus Christ to do. Well, Ken goes on to say here, I had to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again. Now I must come to God by Him to be victorious in my Christian walk. His intercession was necessary for my salvation, and it is essential for my daily living as a born-again one. When I have need and pray to the Father, He is interceding on my behalf. I can't live victoriously without Christ's intercessory ministry, and that ministry depends upon me coming to God by Him in my prayers. Consider how great prayer is. At the right hand of God today in His resurrected body, Jesus Christ is praying for us. Whew. Good thing to know. Someone's praying for you. Someone's up there fighting for you. Someone's up there on the right hand of God fighting for your best interests. And God and Jesus Christ know what those things are. We sometimes don't know what those things are. We think we know what those things are. But I'm going to go on to say here this morning, we don't know many times what those things are that we really want or need in our lives, nor do we know what is going on really truly in the heart of another individual. Only that individual knows what's going on in his own heart and mind. At the right hand of God today, here is Jesus Christ in His resurrected body. And what a contrast to the small value given to prayer by many believers. While prayer has been regulated and relegated to an occasional thing to be done in a time of crisis or to a 15-minute morning activity, He ever lives to make intercession for us continually. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Now, I understand that this is a little challenging maybe to our thinking because all of us fall into ruts. All of us get busy. All of us have distractions, circumstances, things that come up. And all of a sudden you realize, man, I just don't really maybe even take hardly any time to pray, much less with anyone else. See, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, or instead of us, or on our behalf. See? Jesus Christ is appearing in the very presence of God on our behalf. When we are in a situation of temptation, and they will come, we can find the strength to do the will of God because Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. Recall when he was in the garden, God did what? He sent a who to strengthen him. He sent an angel. As wonderful as that was, the angel had never gone through what Jesus Christ was facing at that point in time. Folks, we have an intercessor who has been through more than we ever will or conceivably imagine. We can really find help in the time of need. When God made intercession on our behalf, He interceded through love. But what does intercession mean? That's kind of a nice, fancy, I don't know if that's a $50 word. Let's say it's a $20 word, okay? Well, what that means is that one person comes into the presence of another on their behalf. A lot of times you would think about this in a court of law. You know, I thought about this as I was preparing for this teaching about being Mirandized. You know, I'm not going to see a show of hands of those people who have had their rights read to them here, but we are all familiar with it by, you know, listening to Law and Order and all these other things. You've heard it 1,000 different times. You know, you have the right to remain silent. You know, anything you can or say will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney, or, you know, if you decline that, one will be appointed for you. What does an attorney do? He pleads your case on your behalf. See? An intercessor comes into one's presence on behalf of another, pleading his case and mediating a favorable reconciliation. That's exactly what a mediator does. He comes into this situation where potentially there could be some, you know, extenuating circumstances or whatever. I mean, think of our situation. See, here we are with the sin nature. We're totally out of it, without God and without hope. And here's Jesus Christ, who really was the mediator, right, between God and man. Remember, many of you have been taught this, that what, you know, Jesus Christ and that bridge that spans the chasm between the natural man and God, right? Jesus Christ bridged that separation, that chasm, that division that separated mankind from God Almighty. That has historical roots back in the book of Genesis. See? You see, when God made intercession on our behalf, he interceded through love in the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And he didn't do it because he was obligated to do it, or he needed to do it, or he had to do it. You know what? God did it because he wanted to. He saw this thing so much more clearly before you were ever a sparkle in your mommy and daddy's eye, whenever that was. And they probably didn't even know that was happening at that moment. But God saw this thing. You see, Jesus Christ, he stood in perfect love in his earthly ministry. He was obedient to God's word, and he's completing a mission of intercession for the world. He acquired wholeness for mankind, and he brought spiritual freedom and liberty to those who choose to believe. But see, today, Jesus Christ makes intercession on behalf of us. And the Spirit of God that's within us, that which we have so freely received, makes intercession in spite of us. And then we, only by the grace of God, can make intercession on behalf of others and on behalf of ourselves, because he is in us. It's not within our own strength and within our own power that we now do it. Matter of fact, you know, it's like Paul, you know, Paul had a point of weakness in his own life, right? And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's like when we finally throw up our hands, get to the end of our rope, say, you know what, I am so done with this, then God goes to work. Because we have humbled ourselves before God, and we're no longer going to be dependent upon ourselves. We're going to throw our complete, our total, our 100% dependence upon God. The very thing God has wanted from the beginning, but you know, it's like most of us have to go through. We have to learn it the hard way. You know, the bumper sticker says, when all else fails, try God. When all else fails, pray. See, the psychology of what we're up against here is totally messed up. See, we have learned to become so dependent from God that almost to be dependent upon God, but God becomes a weakness. You don't need that crutch in your life, do you? You need God in your life? Why? You can do it on your own, man. Just make your own way. Show the world who you really are. Be the man that you can be, just like everybody else in the world. Make your stand. Be your own man. Be your own How much do you think we have this driven into our minds? Day after day after day, by loving people, maybe even your own parents. I did. I'm here to admit that. Romans chapter 8. But what's so awesome is that when we simply pray and we say, Father, thank you for Shelley's stepbrother, Mark. We've never met him. We don't know him. But he's got this issue, one of the few cases of swine flu that's been here in San Diego, and people have just been dying left and right, right in the same hospital. Young people, 20 years old. Here's a guy we've never even met. She knows them. God knows there's a need. And what do? We unify our hearts together. We pray. We ask for intercession on his behalf. We go to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask God to help in our time of need. You know what God does? He helps. Because it's not in us. It's not in our own strength that we bring these things into manifestation. And then we can hear these great stories about how God brought the deliverance to pass, how God healed this individual. You know, not immediately. He didn't just jump out of the bed and, you know, run home. It took a period of time. It's probably even still going on. The thing is that God heard the intercession of his people, and he was responsive to it. We don't have the time to look at all the records of intercessory prayer in the Bible. Moses is a great example of many times going to bat for God's people. Because these were the most stubborn, the most obstinate, the most idiotic, sometimes, people that got so distracted doing all sorts of bizarre things, but Moses fought for them. Abraham, praying on behalf of Lot and the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You talk about a place to live. I mean, we joke about it, you know. Everything's like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Well, yeah, it was kind of a nasty place, but here's Abraham, man of God, praying on behalf of not only the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot. Another great record is, and it doesn't really have to do with somebody going to God in prayer, but it's Esther. And the role that she played in interceding on behalf of her her brethren with the king. It's a fascinating, fascinating record in the book of Esther. But see, we don't have to have the golden scepter held out to us for approval. The golden scepter has been handed to us. The golden scepter has been given to us freely. See, in Esther's case, if the king didn't extend the golden scepter, didn't matter if she was the queen or not. If he didn't extend, like, the golden scepter would show his willingness to prove her, she was out of there. See, we don't have to wait for it. We can come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. That's the promise of the Word. And why can we do that? It's just like Hauk shared a couple of weeks ago. Because we're holy. Because we're without blame. We got nothing to prove because we walk in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, really three verses I just want to briefly cover. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for. How much more clearly do you want it? You don't know what to pray for. Sometimes. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This word helpeth. In verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You ready for this word? It's a big, long Greek word, okay? Soon anti lambano. How about that? Soon anti lambano. And it's made up of three different words. The word soon, S-U-N, more commonly known as sun. And the words anti, A-N-T-I. And the word lambano. And these three words, when you break them down, the word soon means together with. The word anti, A-N-T-I, means over against, and the word lambano means to take. We've heard the word lambano before, right? Here's the word helpeth. It's this word, sun antilambano. See? The words, this word speaks of the action of a person coming to another's aid and by taking hold over against that person of the load that he or she is carrying. The person helping does not take the entire load, but helps the other to carry it. See? Think about this as we develop this in terms of our spiritual ability to help others bear the loads in their lives. We know that's a commandment of the Word or direction of the Word. In Galatians 6, it talks that we would bear one another's burdens. Because some of other people's burdens are bearable. And some of other people's burdens are not bearable. You see, the Spirit of God, when it's operated properly and willingly, it intercedes for us in our prayer life. Because you know what? Many times we don't even know what the need is in our own life. We have a great desire to pray, a great feeling of necessity to pray, but we don't know how to verbalize the words. We don't know how to say what needs to be said. So it's that Spirit, when it's operated, it intercedes for us in our private prayer life. We need the Spirit's assistance in our weakness to pray for what is needed, even when we don't know what that is. How good, and how gracious is God that He's figured out and given us a way to offer assistance and to pray for our own lives and to pray on behalf of others and to pray for others in the body of Christ, whom we've never met. We don't even know these people. See? But God's bigger than we. He's got the whole picture. He can just distribute these things down. All we need to do is to do it. See? The manifestation of speaking in tongues provides us the ability. It provides the ability to us, and it provides the ability in us to carry out what we, by our own strength and ability, could never do. The manifestation of speaking in tongues provides the ability to us and in us to carry out what we, by our own strength, we could never figure it out. We never have the ability. We could never do it. It's this power that gives us tremendous spiritual authority to intercede on behalf of others, in spite of whether or not we know the specifics of their given situation. In fact, many times, we are helping others we know nothing about, and we have never met them. There are people who are listening to this CD right now who I've never met. And yet I pray that the prayers of you, the prayers of myself, and the teachings of others who have stood here have helped them somehow in their lives. The issue in some ways is not the mechanics of how it's done. The real issue is in doing it. The real issue is in doing it, in realizing it's through the operation, really, of the grace of God that's given to us that enables us to intercede, to mediate a favorable response. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look there. The reason I can get really kind of I'm very blessed to share about this is that I see it working. I see it working all the time, because had we given you an opportunity to talk about it today, many of you would have stood up right where you are and talked about it. See, there are many opportunities to be able to go to God, express our dependence upon God, and I encourage you that if you don't know what to do in a given situation, that you'd be praying about it. Now, I know that sounds ridiculously simple, but you'd be shocked. You'd be surprised, truly, how many people do not do that and take it upon themselves to figure it out. That's a lot of pressure that maybe you don't really need to be putting on yourself. Why not allow God to go to work in the situation? Call Al Segovia and say, you know what, Al? This is happening, that's happening, or I don't even know what's happening. Let's just you and I pray together about it. Or how about you pray for me? Or we just pray together with, you know, about these things. Because a lot of times we're just so limited in our own faculties to figure out all the drama and the psychology and all these other things that are going on. See? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also." Two great types of prayer. You pray with your understanding. How do you do that? Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for Kent and Pam, for their lives, for their family, their marriage, for Josh and Deanna, and all the great things that are happening for them. And especially, you know, Alex, she needs this job, and we just want to, you know, make sure we're really praying on her. That's one way. The other way is to manifest the Holy Spirit by way of speaking in tongues. And many of you have been instructed and know exactly how to do that. That you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues. You speak in tongues. See, many of us get very oppressed and sometimes depressed by the circumstances and the situations of the world. Where if we just kind of step back from it a little bit and quit taking our lives so serious, and just, you know, you could remove yourself from your situation a little bit and just prayed about it and just let it go a little bit and, you know, kind of back off a little bit from it. Kind of like that, I guess some of you have been reading that book about Mary and Martha, you know. Very easy to just get caught up like a like a roller coaster. You're just all caught up in your own life, in your own situation, your own circumstances, and blah, 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 and what about this, and blah, blah. You get consumed and obsessed and obsessive compulsive, maybe, about your own thing when God's Word has answers. You know why I can say this so authoritatively? Because I've lived through this so many hundreds of times. I still live through it. We all live through it. Who are you kidding? Otherwise, we'd be walking across San Diego Bay to get here for fellowship. You know what I mean? Let's just go down there and walk home. I mean, no, because we haven't perfected it. It's a work in progress, see? But don't obsess so much over your specific little piece of the pie. Matter of fact, that kind of puts the kink in the hose many times, you know? Because you're just all twisted up in knots about, you know, why is this and why is that and why not this and why... Why not call Al Segovia? Sorry, but you know what I mean? Hey, bro, you know what? We need to pray about this. What do you think he's going to say? Hell no! Who do you think you are calling me? You know what? That's not the heart of any person sitting in this room. You know why? We are so in love with each other. We want to see the best happen for each other. We want each other to be successful. We want each other to be healed. We want each other to be walking in the fullness of all that God in Christ is in us. If you're struggling and you're not letting anybody know about it, then that's on you, dude. And ma'am. But don't carry the burden alone. There are many willing people here who aren't just tattletales. You know, they just don't want to go all bound and, oh, did you hear about Al and blah, blah. And just getting into the back, you know, the tail bearing. You know what? I trust we can just move beyond that in our maturity in Christ, you know. And that's just not necessary, really. And I don't look for any of you to really be, you know, playing into that role, you know. But you call Al. You call Al, you say, Al, brother, I need help, you know. And God and Al are working together, and, you know, all of a sudden these things just start happening, and they just start working out, and your heart feels. I'll tell you, before the meeting today, I was just thinking, you know, it would be really great to pray. So I get Rachel, I get Bob, we step right out there. You know, before that, my heart's kind of fluttering a little bit. Not that I'm nervous, but I'm just, you know, I don't know what it is. But just, I get together with them and we pray and we just like, we get God involved. I'm just, oh. You know, it's like you take a deep breath and you're just relieved of having to carry all the whatever of that whole thing. So you call out. And you say, Al, you're going to get a lot of phone calls this week, I hope. Monday night, 7:30, right? Just got a new phone. Okay, there you go. So, yeah. So, we pray with the Spirit. We pray with the understanding also. Both ways. See? But we shouldn't necessarily get out of balance with either one. See? Oh, it's all Spirit. Woo. You know, I don't read the Word. I just walk by the Spirit. Really? The blend, you know, of these things. Oh, gosh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. And these are such great, encouraging verses to us where it says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue, or actually tongues, some tongues can be known, and the word unknown is in italics. The reason it's in italics in the King James Version, as many of you know, is because it's been added to the text by the translator. They were kind enough to italicize those words to let you know they've been added. So, in this case, let's just say, he that speaketh in a tongue. He doesn't speak to men. He doesn't speak. You don't speak into me. But to who? God. You have a connection. You've got a way to speak to God Almighty all day long, all night long, every day, all day long. Whatever you want, whether you're on vacation or not. If you call Al, he's going to encourage you to be talking to God, because that is the ultimate aim and goal of any great leader, is to direct those people who are coming to them to God. I don't want the glory. I don't want it to be all about me. Hopefully what I'm imparting to you is get you to look to him. I'm just the messenger. When we speak in a tongue, we speak in tongues. You know what? It's so easy. You don't have to be baptized on Mission Bay. I'm not saying you couldn't be. But it's not a separate event from receiving the Holy Spirit like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. And at that moment, when you have the proper instruction, you speak in tongues. Yashantala malakasito kasandala balakas. And it's a language. It's a language. Like 1 Corinthians talks about, it's a language of men or of angels. Therefore, it's not unknown. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I want to read this from the Jerusalem Bible, kind of in closing things out here. I intended for this teaching to be a little bit shorter than what it was, but oh well. We always say that, you know, when you get up here. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if you have something you need to get up and go do that's, you feel like it's something you need to go do, then feel free. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep on going here. But from the Jerusalem Bible, Romans 8, 26 and 27, says the Spirit too comes to help us in our weakness. For when we cannot choose words in order to pray properly, the Spirit himself or itself expresses our plea in a way that could never be put into words. And God, who knows everything in our heart, knows perfectly well what he means, and that the pleas of the saints expressed by the Spirit are according to the mind of God. Bottom line, you can't blow it. You speak in a tongue, you are going to get said what God wants to get said, and you are going to pray for what God wants to get prayed for, because you ain't smart enough to figure it all out by yourself. I don't care what degree you got or where you went to school or what your pedigree's like. You ain't smart enough, and neither am I. Oh, the world might try to squeeze a little pride in there, and you know, because, you know, you don't want to show your weakness to anybody. Oh, you know, you want to make sure everybody thinks you're like the ultimate spiritual person. You know what? Let's just take our clothes off right now. Underneath all these clothes, we are naked. We're just people, right? It doesn't have anything to do with your status in society, your bank account balance, the car you drive, the position you hold, wherever you are in life, your age, nothing. None of it. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Because I believe there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, all flesh is as filthy rags. And you ain't going to find nothing good in your flesh. Oh, it's beautiful. I like it. You're lovely. But productive? I mean, we try hard to keep this flesh going and make it look good and, you know, facials and massages and pedicures and sleep, if we ever get enough. I don't know. Seems like we're always tired, but anyway. When we pray with the Spirit, although our understanding is unfruitful, we know that we are praying according to the will of God. And furthermore, we know that God, who searches the hearts, and who also knows the intent and the meaning of the Spirit, as it is manifested in the believer, is working all things for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. See? Today, right now, you have something that you can walk in practically from this moment forward. Or be reminded of to do it. Call this guy right here. Anytime something's on your heart, or call me, or call Ken, or call Todd, or call Shelley, or call anybody else in this room. See, because you're doing yourself a great disservice if you don't make the need known and expect someone else to just know it, you know, because they're whatever they are. You know, you should just automatically know everything that's going on with me. Wives many times think that about their husbands. You know, they should just automatically know what the need is. Well, sometimes that's true, but many times, you know, we've gotten that phrase down. You know, we're not mind readers. You know, it is available for you to tell us what's going on. So, anyway, you know what? Today, we can really be confident that we can offer our prayers on behalf of ourselves and others, and knowing that God hears us, and He's going to distribute those things as they're needed. It's not about us. It's not doing it in our own strength. It is about praying. It is about manifesting the Spirit. But it's not in telling God what He's going to do. Like He's our little God. He's just going to jump whenever we tell Him to. You know, like He's big old Santa Claus or something. You just give me, you know. That ain't it. Now, I know I'm making it kind of ridiculous, but, you know, sometimes we can make our self-worth, our self-esteem, and our value as believers so conditional upon our behavior that we really short-sell the work of Jesus Christ. God's opinion with you has nothing to do with your behavior. It doesn't mean you go out and live like every other natural man in the world. There's a balance in that. But many people condemn themselves over things that God could care less about. See, it has nothing to do with your behavior. It's more about who you identify with, who you really see yourself as day after day after day after day. See, do you really see your life for what God says it truly is? It's a challenge, my friends. To get to the point where you consistently believe in what God's Word says about you, and then you're able to live it day by day, moment by moment. So I will pray for you this week, and you pray for me. And, you know, somehow this whole thing just works so well together. Because it's something that God designed to work. And it's not up to us to get it to work. We do those things we can do. See? And let God do what He's good at. All right, Heavenly Father, thank You for the joy and privilege of being able to share the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that this Word of God, the logic of this teaching, the application of what has been shared here today, Father, has truly been Your desire and what You would have Your people to hear at this particular point in time in history and in their lives. that we are so hot on this subject, Father, to pray to you, to pray for each other, to pray for ourselves, Father, that we may be freed from the clutches of condemnation, guilt, sin consciousness, any other bondage that would attempt to enslave us or hold us back. Father, that our heart's desire is to be all that you have made us to be, to walk in the fullness of our righteousness, to truly understand what it is to be a child of yours. And Father, that when our prayers are spoken, they are spoken with words of believing, with great hearts of consideration and compassion, Father, and that you would work in our lives and in the lives of others in the body of Christ and in the world a miraculous work as only you can do. And so we pray for these wonderful days ahead, Father, as we look to you, we cast our cares upon you, Father, we fill our days with days of peace and thanksgiving, awaiting the day of our return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're certainly blessed and privileged to pray in his great and victorious name. Amen. All right. God bless.